January 20th, which is next week. And so if you made a New Year's resolution and you're still holding on to it and you're following through with it, that is wonderful, because only 8% of the people who make a resolution for New Year's end up completing their resolution. 8%. Not probably a really high percentage for resolutions. So I tend to be one of those people that don't really make New Year's resolutions based on do I need to lose weight, as is obvious to you, or things like that. Today I want to talk a little bit about it being 2020. It got me thinking about 2020 is vision. You know, you want to have 2020 vision. And that means that you see clearly. But today I'm going to talk about seeing beyond the visible. How do we have 2020 vision? And we can look at, I could have taken this from several different viewpoints. I could have taken it from, as a church, what do we need to do to see beyond beyond the visible? What are our goals, our resolutions that we're going to make for this year to help us to move forward, to grow, to see beyond our vision? Up until the age of 53, I had great eyes. I could see well during the day. I could see well during the night. I had what I would consider, I didn't have to wear glasses. My eyes were just perfect as far as I was concerned. I could see everything that I looked at without the assistance of anything to help me to see it. I was great at long distance, and I was great at close distance. And at the age of 53, I found myself having to adjust the distance that I held the songbook, you know, from where my eyes were. And it began to tell me, uh-oh, there's something going on. I'm beginning to lose my vision. And it concerned me. It really was bad, depending on the type of light that was in the room. The lower the lights, the harder it was to read. And so I knew that if I didn't do something to correct my vision, I would not be able to see. You've heard the phrase, seeing is believing, but seeing takes no faith. God asks us to see beyond what's the visible, beyond what we can see with our eyes. And that is not looking at, and we talked about this in our class this morning, not looking at what's around us in the world, but seeing beyond the world and being able to see God's purpose for our lives. Let's see if this will work. It does. Nearsightedness and farsightedness. Nearsightedness is being able to see what's right in front of our eyes, what's close up. We are nearsighted. And farsighted means that we can see things at a distance. And as I said, I used to have both of those under control. In 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to read through this. This is quite a little bit longer reading, and I have different slides with parts of it on it. But we want to look at what it says. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than troubles. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. Sometimes we have a very limited, I know in my classroom, my students, you know, have an attention span that is very short. They only see, you know, what was just right now. They don't think beyond right now. And if right now takes too long, they don't even focus on right now. Okay, here it says we set our eyes on things not on things we see, but on what we do not see. The author is saying that our focus is not to be on the temporary, on the things that don't last. You know, because we know as Christians that God has given us everything, that He's provided us and He's put us in this world. And we, of course, we are resolved to the fact that we have to live in this world. But He says, don't look at the things of this world and make them your priority, because these things are like a vapor. They are here for a short time and they vanish away. But to set your minds on things that are higher. And this is kind of what we're going to be talking about today. We know that our body, the tent we live in here on earth, will be destroyed. But when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made with human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. But now we groan in this tent. We want God to give us our heavenly home, because it will clothe us so that we will not be naked. While we live in this body, we have burdens and we groan. We do not want to be naked, but we want to be clothed with our heavenly home. Then this body that dies will be fully covered with life. This is what God made for us. And He has given us the Spirit to be a guarantee for this new life. We are put out naked into this world to have to survive, to have to live, to have to deal with the things around us. And we are exposed to all the things that they bombard us with. And most of that is not good. And so we need to, as the author says, we long, we groan, we suffer in this temporary life as we long for a heavenly life. Our focus, our vision needs to be beyond what we see around us, but we tend to get caught up in it. We tend to be drawn in, and we begin to lose sight of our goal, of where we want to be. I got to remember to change that. So we always have courage. We know that while we live in this body, we are away from the Lord. We live by what we believe, not by what we can see. So I say that we have courage. We really want to be away from this body and to be at home with our Lord. Our only goal is to please God, whether we live here or whether we live there, because we must all stand before Christ to be judged. Each of us will receive what we should get, good or bad, for the things we did in this earthly body. We need to live by what we believe, not by what we see. We need to keep our focus and our attention on the invisible, on the things not seen. Because our goal is to be with God, which is eternal, which is forever, which is everlasting. But He says, we will be judged. And we're going to receive what we deserve. We're going to get what basically we asked for. You know, I in school, a lot of times my students will do something and I'll say, you know, they'll come to me and they'll say, Mr. Johnson, why did I get a D on this test? I said, because that's what you deserved. That's what you worked toward. You know, if you wanted an A, you would have worked toward an A, but you got what you deserved. I didn't take the test for you. You took it. You got what you got because that's what you deserved. Oh, I guess you're right. I guess I guess I did deserve that D. And then I'll say, what are you going to do in the future? I'm going to get what I deserve. And that's, and I'll say, that's right. So what do you want? You work toward. What we want in this life is not here. What we want in this life is to survive, okay? And not be taken in by the things of the world or the things that are around us, but to always keep our eyes set on above, on those things above that are uncorruptible. We don't want to focus on the temporary, the here and now, the things we can see, the short term. We need to focus on eternal things that are forever. It is our only goal to please God, whether we live here or there. You know, in Philippians, the Apostle Paul talks about this, you know, where he says, I can brag about all the things that I've accomplished in this world. I could, you know, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know, I have studied with the greatest teachers. I have done all these things. But I will not boast in those things. I will boast only in my Lord and his surpassing greatness. Okay? That is an everyday thing we need to work toward. That it doesn't matter the troubles that come our way, the failures that we have, the sadness that comes to us on a daily basis. We're all going to feel those things. If our focus is upward, if our focus is heavenward, those things cannot defeat us. Those things cannot take away what we know is temporary, because we know what we have is eternal. Who did it say we were going to be judged by? Christ. Christ is our judge. Christ is the one that came to save us. He is the one that gave his life as a ransom for us. Therefore, to live is Christ and to die is gain, the Bible tells us. He will look at us and he will point out, and I'm sure he could point out all of our failures. He could say, you did this, and at the age of 24, you did this and this and this and this. I just don't know that is going to be that way, and I don't know for sure, but I think it's going to be, I know you were trying to serve me to the best of your ability, that you were seeking me in your life every single day, that you were not letting the things of the world defeat you, that you were, even when you were downtrodden, even when things were going against you, you came to me in prayer and you asked me to help you. You asked me to look at you and to get you through those rough times and those troubled times. And so all those things that you did, they're no more. I don't see them. Your vision was of heaven, and my vision for you is to be with me in heaven. Enter in. That's what it's all about. So where is our focus? Hebrews 12:2. And let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who made it perfect. He suffered death on a cross, but he accepted the shame as if it were nothing because of the joy that God put before him. And now he is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus lived a life just like we live. Jesus didn't let his focus get distracted. Brandon over here, He is an expert deer hunter, okay? He goes out and the deer probably just practically walk to him, you know. He's so good. But he's got a sight, I'm guessing, on his rifle. Okay. Brandon, what happens if your sight is out of focus, if it's not aligned, you miss your target. Part of having 20/20 vision of the things that we cannot see is not letting our lives get out of focus. It's dialing it in so that we know what our target is. And we are pointed and we are aimed at the target. We know what we are shooting for. And we know we are going to hit it. Okay? And like Brandon focuses in his scope in order to get what he's aiming for. As Christians, we need to be sure our scope is focused, that we don't let other things distract us from the vision that we have of an eternal life with Jesus Christ. It's easier said than done. But here in the scripture, it's the same thing that Christ had to do, because Christ came as a man. He came and he focused on his purpose, his mission, what his Father sent him to do. He did not let himself be distracted. He did not let himself get out of focus, even though there were people seeking to kill him. There were people saying all manner of things about him that were wrong. He realized that it was temporary, that the time that he had, the 33 years that he had on this earth, were temporary, and they were nothing compared to eternity. We needed to stay clearly focusing our sights on Jesus and not be distracted by this life. The other scripture I have here is Proverbs 4:25. Keep your eyes focused on what is right and look straight ahead to what is good. You know, one of the qualities of light is direction. What direction is the light coming from? If I am driving down the road at nighttime and I've got my headlights on the road in front of me, if I look to the left or I look to the right, it's dark. I have to focus on what is in the light in order to stay on the road. Because if I don't focus on what is in the light, I'm going to swerve into darkness. Okay? One of the important things about focusing on the light is that we're not susceptible to darkness. We stay in the light. The light is our guide. We know that we are safe when we are going toward the light. And in our spiritual lives, we need to keep our focus on the light. We need to keep going straight, because when we swerve in our lives, and we do that from time to time, we swerve, we go off the road a little bit, and if we go too far off the road, we have trouble finding our way back. We need to know where the light is, keep focused on that light. Light and darkness, complete opposites. By definition, light is the absence of darkness, and darkness is the absence of light. Okay? When I work, I'm as a theater teacher, I'm dealing a lot with lights. Okay? I want people to be able to see what I want them to see, so I focus my lights in a certain way. I can focus them from the front, and I see everything. I can focus them from the back, and all I see is shadow. Darkness is on the image because the light is around them, but they're not in the light, the direction of the light. I can light them from the side, and I can get half of their profile, and the other side is in darkness. That's a good analogy for staying in the light. I want people to see what's going on my stage when we're putting on a production. So I try to make sure that the people that are important are in the light. And the people that are not supposed to be in the light at the time are in the darkness where people cannot see them. We need to keep ourselves fully in the light. In Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. In the past you were full of darkness, but now you are full of light in the Lord. So live like children who belong to the light. Light brings every kind of goodness, right living, and truth. It is only in the light that we can find the right. Darkness is not a place where we can find the good, the right living, the truth. Because if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. Okay? Jesus, in many times, is referred to as being the light. So as we walk toward Jesus, we stay in the light. John 8:12. Jesus talked to the people again, saying, "I am the light of this world. The person who follows me will never live in darkness, but will have the light that gives life." If darkness is the absence of light, and light is life, what is darkness? Death. Darkness is death. And so Jesus says, "I am the light." And if you walk in the light, you will have life. A plus B equals C, that distributive thing, If you walk in the darkness, it's death. Okay? We need to live in the light every single moment of our lives. We need to know where the light is coming from. We need to continue in that direction. When trouble comes, the light is our salvation. We cannot let darkness overcome us. We must be in the light. Light is made up of intensity. Light is made up of color. Light is made up of direction, and light is made up of refraction. We need to be reflectors of the light. We need to be like mirrors. That when you hold a mirror up to the light, I was watching something the other day, and I think it was a commercial for some movie, and the guy had a mirror, and there was a tiger coming at him, and he began to have the little light going all over the thing, and the tiger began to chase the light. That's what cats do, it says. We need to be a reflection of the light that's coming to us. We need to absorb it, but at the same time, we need to reflect it. In theater, we wear makeup so the light doesn't reflect off of our skin, off the oil in our skin. We don't want the light reflecting. But in our spiritual lives, we need to be reflecting that light. People need to know who we are and where we're standing. They need to see us in the light. They need to see us reflecting that light. And if they see that and they see the joy that we have in the light, they will want to become a part of the light as well. I don't know if this is a true story or not, but you would be able to tell me probably or not, but Alexander the Great, great conqueror of the world. What did he cry when he didn't have anything else to conquer? Is that who that was? That's what they say, right? Well, there's a story, and actually I've seen the story told two different ways, one with a little boy and one with a soldier. But the story goes like this. I'll tell the soldier one. Alexander the Great was walking through his conquered kingdom, and he came up on a soldier who was coming up on a soldier who was asleep at his guard. He was supposed to be standing guard, and he had fallen asleep. And of course, the typical penalty for falling asleep at your post was death. A lot of times what they would do, they would pour kerosene over the sleeping person, and they would light them up and kill them. This was the way Big Al worked, okay? And so he was walking up to this guy, and the guy woke up. just before he got there, and he was scared. He knew that he was probably going to be killed. And Alexander walks up to him and says, "Son, what is your name?" And the soldier said, "Alexander." He said, "Son, what is your name?" He said, "Alexander." And Alexander looked at him and said, "You either need to change your name or change your conduct." You know, everything is in a name, okay? What is the name that we wear? We wear the name of Christ. I think sometimes God looks at us and says, "You either need to change your name or you need to change your conduct. You need to be who you are professing to be. Because if you're not, then you're false." Colossians 3:23-24. "In all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord, not for people. Remember that you will receive your great reward from the Lord, which he promised to his people. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ." We read in the Gospels that if a Roman soldier came up to you and asked you to carry their pack, you were required by the law to put down your stuff and carry your pack. Carry their pack. And the story says not to carry. I think it was 2 miles that you were actually required to carry it. But the story says, the Bible says, don't even carry it the required amount of time, but carry it beyond. Because you are doing it as not that this is a soldier, but you are a representative of Christ. You need to carry their load. You need to help them out. What is their attitude going to be about you if you go that extra mile? They're going to see that, and they're going to know the kind of person that you are. Be willing to carry the load, because you are a representative of Christ in everything you do. It says, be a servant of God. Follow his teachings and his ways. We need to have a vision that is 2020. We need to see clearly the light, where the light is coming from, and to make every effort to walk in the light, because this is a temporary life. And we sometimes lose focus of that. This is not important. The things that happen to us are not important. You know, I was talking with Tom. He's been through surgery. He feels weak. He's going to have to learn how to do his own dialysis and such like that. That is scary for him. But it's temporary. You know, the big picture is that God is with him. The big picture is that God will take care of him. And as the scripture we read earlier says, whether it's this life or the next, live for Christ. I want to encourage you to walk in the light. I want to encourage you to be a reflector of the light. And that your 2020 vision is to do that more in this year than you did it last year. I need to do it more this year than I did it last year. I need to keep my focus in tune and finely tuned as to whose I am and where I'm going and what I want to be, because I've got to realize that this is only a short life, just a vapor, and to live for Christ. If you have a need that you have, as far as maybe you want the church to pray for you, or maybe you haven't been baptized, if you want to share your heart with us, you can do that. We are a family here. We are a fellowship. We cry with each other. We laugh with each other. We share with each other, because we are God's creatures and we all are walking toward the same goal. If you need prayers or anything, if you'll come as we stand and sing the song, I Am Resolved.